Welcome to the Rain in Threes podcast with Alan Ray and Mike O'Connell.
Hello and welcome to the 29th episode of the Rain in Threes podcast. I am your host, Mike O'Connell, here with Villanova basketball legend, Alan Ray. A-Ray and I have a very special guest for you all tonight, the legendary Villanova guard, 11-year NBA vet, and current Friends of Nova president, Randy Foy. Randy, thank you so much for giving us some time tonight to talk some ball.
Nah, thanks for having me, man. Really appreciate it, man. Big time. I was waiting for the invite from Alan. I was watching the show. I was watching, you know, you had a little bit of everybody on there from the 80s, 90s, Coach Wright. But I'm happy to be on, man. It's a pleasure.
You're right, bro. It took us a little while. We should have had you on here much earlier than that. But, you know, we here now. It's the time. And everybody been waiting for this this interview and been waiting for this episode. So definitely appreciate you coming on, taking the time out to talk some hoops with us.
Definitely, man. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. So let's just get right into it, man. Let's just talk about Randy Foy growing up in Newark, New Jersey. Like, how did you get into basketball? Like, what led you into basketball, picking up that basketball and saying, like, you know, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do for a living.
Yeah, I give a lot of credit to my neighbor who lived across the street from me. His name was Ronnie, nicknamed Fats Parker, where he just was into everything. He was playing baseball. He was playing basketball. And he was a couple years older than me. And he was always say, you know, come play basketball at the basketball courts with the older players. And I would go up there. They wouldn't pick me. I'll sit on the side. And then got into baseball.
How old were you at this point?
Like, we were like, I was like around like 8 years old at this time when we were doing this. And, you know, we kept going back to the, you know, the local basketball court near Dr. Yammer Flag School. And, you know, I just started playing and I couldn't shot off. I was too slow. I really couldn't do much of anything. But the one thing I kept doing was I just kept going and I kept pushing myself. I kept challenging myself. And once I finally got on the court and I just started playing with older guys. It just was something about basketball that I loved over football and baseball. So I just stuck with it. And by the time I was like 12 or 13, I was I knew basketball was the sport for me.
Okay. Yes. So a lot of people don't know this. My bad, OC. A lot of people don't know this. But coming out of high school, you was also entertaining going to the NBA. So I just want you to talk about a little bit of your recruiting process when you was in high school, what other schools are recruiting you, and your decision about not going to the NBA out of high school and going to Villanova. Like, what came into that decision?
Yeah, that for you to even ask that question, I know you, because nobody really knows that.
Exactly.
I left ABCD camp in 2001, 2002, and I felt like I had a good camp. And we wanted to do it as a publicity stunt because I wanted North Carolina, Duke, and that type of schools. So just to get some traction there, I just was like, hey, I did a local article, I think, in the Star Ledger, and I was like, hey, I'm going to declare for the NBA draft. It seemed like that was popular at the time. So when I said that, I didn't expect it to gain that much traction, but gained so much traction that, you know, I had family members coming up to me saying, hey, man, please don't forget me. Please don't forget me. So no one knows that, though. I'm almost embarrassed to think about it because, and the reason I did it was because of Sandy Pione, my AAU coach, and Noah Scheisman, who helped me do my podcast. And Noah was with ESPN in life. And he was a Solomon Schechter, grad. And when Noah, he was walking around, he was following Sebastian Telfair. He was following LeBron. And everybody was like, yeah, Sebastian Telfair and LeBron James, they're going straight to the NBA out of high school.
So I remember that.
Yeah. It's popular. So let me try to do it so the cameras can follow me. And at the end of the day, it didn't work out for me that way. I had to end up going to college to get to an MBA. But that's amazing that you found that story. That's hey, man, you have a future in journalism, man. Trust me.
Bro, Coach Wright, I remember when, like, during the whole process, because I committed first. And I don't know. I think it was it Jay and Kurt, and then you committed last?
I'm not sure. Jay committed last. Okay. It was of I think you were first. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know the order to go with me and Kurt. I know me and Kurt was either second or third, and then Jay Frey was last, because I remember us recruiting Jay Frey to come.
Yeah. I remember Coach Wright, like, listen, he's like, A-Ray, he's like, Randy Foy, I want him to come to the school. He wants to come to school with us, but he's like, he's thinking about going to the NBA and stuff like that. Like, he was getting ready to have me put on this whole, like, recruiting thing to go after you hard as hell, because I did that with Curtis. I didn't really do too much with Jason, but I kind of helped recruit Curtis, and we was getting ready to go full throttle on you too, bro, I'm telling you. Because we wanted you coming over.
Yeah, I just remember, like, the one thing I remember playing against the Long Island Panthers at the Gauchos in the Bronx, New York. And I think they had, like, Jason.
And you cooked them. I remember that game.
They had Jason. They had Tyquan Dean. Curtis Sumter. You name it. It's so many other names. I think Sebastian Telfair was on that. And I think 65 points. And fouled me at the end of the game. And when Jason fouled me, it was no more time. The game was tied. And I think it's Gavin, right, A-Ray? Their coach?
Yeah.
Crazy on the refs. And while he was going crazy on the refs, I was practicing my free throws. The ball, I made the two free throws. We took the trophies back to Jersey. And then Jason Frazier was like, when he came up on his visit, he was like, listen, man, the only reason I'm thinking about coming here is what you did to my team. And he was like, I'm going to shoot. Peace. And you know how Jay Frey talk. And I was like, all right, man, just come. Just make sure you come. Don't go to North Carolina. Don't go to Louisville. Come to Villanova. And the rest is history.
Bro, everybody was calling me that day, too, because Gaucho Gym, I grew up like 5 minutes from Gaucho Gym. So everybody was calling me, like, yo, your boy just had like 60 at the Gauchos against the Panthers. And I was like, yeah. I'm like, we about to go to Nova. Yeah. Like, it's lit. It's lit.
I already knew. That it was a match, and you don't know this. You know how you did your due diligence and your background checks on myself. question, but when we played at Yale, I don't think you remembered it. I don't know if, but we played at Yale. It was an AAU tournament at Yale University in Connecticut, and you were hooping, and I don't know. I think you hit like 5 threes, and yeah. When I was talking to. And it's like, when I say 5 threes, not throughout the course of the game, but through the, I would say, a span of like 9 possessions, you hit 5 threes. And I said to Coach Hill, I was like, Coach Hill, I was like, I swear we could play together. I was like, I know it. I was like, our games are completely different. Like, I distribute the ball. I, you know, get to the basket. He's a shooter. He can handle the ball. We can play together. And it was like, yeah, well, you know, you got to commit. He's already committed. You have to commit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, seeing you play at Yale and, you know, looking at our game, and our games wasn't identical. And I just knew right away I can play with you. And I know if we got a small forward and a center, what Villanova was looking for at that time, I knew that we had Jay Wright turning around.
Yeah, did y'all have the blue jerseys?
It was reversals back then. You know, everybody, I don't even think we had
the blue jerseys.
Yeah, we had the Royal Blue New Jersey Roadrunners. I forget who you were playing with, but we, like, that, it was right by the stairs. I walked in, yeah. And everybody was
like, the Ravens.
Yeah. He's going to Nova. So once I saw that, I was like, yeah, I'm going to Nova too.
Bro, didn't you love that growing up, bro? Like, when you was, like, one of the best players in the city, like, every time you walked into a gym, anytime you walk in anywhere, everybody's like, oh, that's Randy Foy, or like, he going to Nova. Like, that shit felt so good.
Like, that, those last 2 years of high school, like, it just, it went by so fast. I felt like a celebrity. Like, every single day I went to high school, I was like, where you going? Where you going? And then we'll practice after school, and then there'll be college coaches there. And, you know, once I committed and I've been with Coach Wright and Coach Hill and Joe Jones and everybody coming to the games and being at practice, and it's just like you feel like a celebrity. But, you know, looking back on it, you know, I just said, you know, Coach Wright, you know, he did a hell of a job with recruiting and just being available, making sure that, you know, he had his coaches everywhere. You know, Coach Hill used to come to school during the day and be like, hey, man, you better make sure you get to every class. You know, you better make sure, you know, you're sitting in the front of the class. So I just, you know, I talked to Coach Wright and the program that he built to, you know, help us, you know, change something that we, you know, me and you, we damn near thought it was impossible for what he wanted us to do. But, you know, hats off to Coach.
For sure.
Yeah. A-Ray tells a great story about Joe Jones on a recruiting trip, come play, you know, just pick up in the Bronx, eating some Chinese food, hanging out, you know, just chopping it up. Do you got any stories that you remember from recruiting being like, oh, man, this feels like home. This feels like family.
It's the same story. It's the same story. I remember Coach Wright pulled up to Newark, New Jersey. And if you guys understand, if you guys know of Newark, New Jersey, it's a movie. It's a famous movie called New Jersey Drive. And I'll just leave it there. But Coach Wright pulled up in a really nice Range Rover. You know, Coach Wright loves his suits. And there's a whole bunch of people just outside sitting on their porch. And as Coach Wright pulled up, the first, you know, my friend that lived across the street, Luis, he was like, yo, you good? I was like, this is the head coach. He's like, oh, all right, I'm just making sure. So Coach Wright, I could tell right away, you know, Coach Wright's super confident, just outgoing person. I could tell, like, he's nervous right away. And Coach Wright, you know, he takes off his jacket. We sit down on the porch. And Freddie Hill is there. Freddie Hill, he sent Freddie Hill to KFC. We sat on the porch and we ate KFC. And we talked about what the future will look like. As not only the thing that, you know, swayed my grandmother the most was he talked about my life after basketball, you know. And that's something that my grandmother really appreciated. For me, being an 18-year-old kid, I was just ready to get after it. I wasn't thinking about life after basketball. I was just like, hey, will I start? Will you play me big time minutes? And yeah. You know, one thing I respect about him is that he never said that I will start. He just always said, you got to come in. You got to work hard every single day. You got to be a Villanova basketball player. And at that time, I didn't know what that was. By the time we got there, Ray, that was some of the hardest basketball I ever played in my life.
It was. And speaking of being there, I wanna go to sophomore year. Sophomore year, we have a good game against freshman year. Let's go freshman year. Freshman year, we didn't really have a great season.
Right.
Sophomore year comes, it's real up and go ahead.
Go ahead, you got it.
Well, we was real up and down sophomore year. We played against UConn. I don't know if you remember, we played UConn at the Wachovia. We played UConn. And we gave them a run for their money. You went up and got blocked by Okafor at the end, and we went into overtime that game. I wasn't sure if that was in the overtime or was that to go to overtime. But then fast forward after that, we in the Big East tourney, we playing against Seton Hall, and you hit that shot to send us to the next round against the same UConn team that we almost beat. We end up losing to UConn. But I want to know, what was your mindset when that season was over? We went to the NIT again, second year in a row. What was your mindset going into the summertime, preparing yourself for junior year? Because I feel like we all came back as different players junior year. Like, we all grew. We were mature. We understood what it meant to win. And we had a little bit of taste of that during the season, our sophomore year. So, like, what was your mindset going into that summer?
I'm going to be honest with you, and a lot of people don't know this. Coach Hill knows this. I know Coach Wright knows this to a certain extent. I know my inner circle knows this, but I was ready to transfer at the end of my sophomore year because I felt like the our freshman year, we had that phone card. We started out so well. I think we beat Michigan State at the Alaskan Shootout. We started 5-0 in the Big East. We beat some really good teams. And all of a sudden, this phone card scandal happens where, you know, we're freshmen. I don't know what's going on, but it's a code that everyone's using. And you look around, and it just seemed like the program that we were supposed to rebuild, it's a scandal now. And, you know, the house is on fire. And Coach Wright's leadership was great. You know, a lot of guys had to sit out. I think me were the only two that were able to play. I think we had six players on CBS versus the Pittsburgh Panthers. That was really, back then, it was really, really good. They're still good. But and then sophomore year, you know, I just felt like for what he wanted me to do, for what he wanted you to do, it was just damn near impossible. For me, it's like, hey, how do I rebound, score, lead on the court, lead off the court, damn near be a perfect person? It's just like, it was, it felt like it was too much. And it felt like it was, you know, the weight of the world was on our shoulders. But you think about, you know, I have having this conversation at the end of my sophomore year with Coach Hill. I'm just saying, I don't think this is for me. I didn't sign up for this. You know, and Coach Hill say, hey, you know, you make the decision, you know, you make it big, you got to land it. But at the end of the day, you know, just give it, you know, another year, see what happens. We're going to send you on this tour overseas. And when we send you on this tour, you know, you're going to be able to play and, you know, enjoy yourself and have fun. And hey, Ray, I go on this tour and it's multiple Big East players on this tour. And Chris Charles is on the tour with me.
And is this the team that Coach Wright was coaching?
Coach Wright, that's my junior year. That's the end of my junior year. This is a different tour. We went to Belgium and played. We went to Belgium and played. And when I went, I just was free. And the coach played me, and I would shoot the ball. I would say probably if it was 12 possessions, I was shooting the ball 11. Yeah. Chris Charles, me and Chris Charles, we Chris Charles is upset with me because he wanted the ball in the post. And so, you know, me and him butted heads over there. It's the only two teammates on the team, and we're upset with each other. But I found myself. And when I found myself, I felt like I was a junior and a senior in high school, the Randy Foy that was discovered by, you know, Jay Wright, that was discovered by the University of Duke, North Carolina, Florida, Cincinnati, all these schools that were coming after me. And I just was free. And when I came back, I said to myself, you know, let coach our junior year. He's going to yell at us, right? He's going to be upset when we make mistakes. But it was so amazing to me how Coach Wright can yell at you and be on you, you know, one expert possession, he'll bring you over and be like, hey, get the ball and do this, this, and that. It breaks down. Mike Nardi's here. Alan Ray's here. You know, and Will Sheridan, somebody would be, you know, at the porch to get ready to dunk the ball. And it's like, he would be on you. But at that moment, I learned. And being around it now, it's just teaching moments, right? Mm-hmm. He was teaching, you know, how to be a Villanova basketball. He was holding us accountable, even when we were up. It felt like when we were up, it felt like when we were in practice. If practice was so hard, man. And I heard this before on a podcast, but it made games easy for us junior year. And I just remember I could be playing my junior year, and by the end of the game, Alan, I wasn't even that tired because practice was so hard. Yeah. And we always, and you know, iron sharpens iron, we always win against each other. So I felt like the best person that I ever played against or went against in practice were our guards from you. Being so shifty and tricky with the ball and being able to shoot Mike Nardi and Kyle Lowry. Like, I never went up against other guards that were better than our guards. So I never really worried about defending whoever. I remember the only guard that I could say I went up against and it felt like one of our guards in college was Ben Gordon. That was my defensive assignment. And I felt like he was us, you know, he can shoot, he could dribble, he could pass. He just made it hard on you every single possession. But, you know, going against you guys in practice, it prepared me for not only, you know, what I did at the, you know, playing 1-5 in my senior year, but in my junior and my senior year. But what I did in the NBA, I could guard any position, and that was from going against my team.
Yeah. Bro, we gotta have another conversation about this, about practice, and like really explain like the intensity level that we used to have in practice. I mean, it got to the point where like me and you couldn't even guard each other no more in practice. like Kyle and Mike couldn't guard each other in practice. And it wasn't because like we didn't like each other. Like when I scored on you in practice, like I felt good. You know what I'm saying? Like I just scored on like I'm scoring on Randy today. Or like if I'm locking you up, or you having a bad day or whatever, and I'm locking you up in practice, or you not scoring, like that shit, it made me feel good. You know what I'm saying? And right. it was always a challenge. Like I got that from Coach Wright, just challenging yourself, you know. And I knew you was one of the best players, especially after, I don't know if you remember that damn Notre Dame game when you hit dude with the crossover and then went to the middle of the paint, jump stop, and dunk it with two hands.
Right.
That's when I was like, yeah, this dude's a pro. That's when I was like, he's a pro. And then I was just like, I'm just got to get better every day, just like going up against him. But we definitely got to talk about that and like how intense practice was, man. Because I don't think like younger guys really understand like what it takes to win. Like I posted that video with Kyle on my Twitter.
Right.
And like he's running all over the place. And, like, it's a lot of people on there, like, oh, it's the beginning of the game, blah, blah, blah. But, like, you just don't understand. Like, the beginning of the game to come out like, that sets the tone. And, like, you got to play like that all the time. Like, we used to play just like that.
Yeah. I just remember, like, the first 15 minutes of practice was, like, so intense. And it just was, like, a stretch and going through stuff with our strength and conditioning coach. Then I remember we get into practice and we will always be against each other. And I remember Coach Wright and used to say this, and we used to say this to each other. Hey, when the TV timeout is 4 minutes to the next TV timeout, if it's a couple of extra possessions, right? Just win the next TV timeout. And we used to just play so hard. And I remember when we used to come out, when the TV timeout, we'll sit and when the TV timeout, but it was because practice was so hard, and you know, like from the beginning, you have to make your opponent uncomfortable. Your opponent has to be so uncomfortable in the beginning of the game that you basically, when you're out there running, like you're so tired that you think you're about to lose your life. That's how. Yeah. But then, if it's a loose ball or something, you realize that you're not really that tired because you get the ball flying to go get a dunk or help your teammate out on defense if you guys turn the ball over. So for me, it was always about just setting the tone from the beginning, making the opponent as uncomfortable as possible, because I knew if we did that and we got any cross matches where we can hit multiple threes or drive and kick or finish at the rim, I knew the other team was in trouble.
Yeah, we had Coach Wright on, and he said something similar to you about the difference between your guys' sophomore year into your junior year. That you guys kind of just came in with a different mentality after that summer, and all the hard work, all the dedication, all those brutal practices, it finally paid off your junior year. You guys had some big-time wins. You know, you beat Kansas by 20 when they were ranked number 2 in the country at Wachovia. You beat BC when they were ranked in the top 5. A couple other big-time Big East wins. And then you guys push the eventual national champions to the brink in Carolina. A-Ray gets called on the Phantom Travel. And, you know, at what point, though, was that like, all right, we put in all this work. Look at what we've done. Look at what we're capable of. And it's like, all right, we got to come back next year and really make a run at it. So what was your mindset after that Carolina game and moving forward afterward?
To be honest with you, after that Carolina game, it changed my life. I think that whole run for the last 15 games basically put me on the map where people looked at me as a pro after that, being able to pass the ball, shoot the ball, and just being, you know, just versatile on the defensive end. People started to look at me a little different, and I separated myself within, I would say, the competition around the Big East and around the country, because I was pretty athletic and I was just unselfish. And I was the type of player, if I had it going, you can ask Allen, I was shooting the ball. If I didn't have it going, I would pass the ball and try to find Allen as much as I can, because I knew he was the only person on our team that can probably go out and get 25 to 35 points if he got it going. But I realized way before, I think it was our sophomore year, we were playing Virginia. I knew we beat Virginia at home in the NIT, and that's when I knew something clicked. Because normally when we had games and they were really close, we would lose them. And I just remember, like, towards the end of the game, myself and Allen just commanding the ball. And it was more of like, hey, coach, we're not turning the ball over. We're going to get a good shot, right? If we make it, we make it. If we miss it, we're going to get the rebound, and we're going to reset, and we're going to try to get a good shot again. And at the end of my sophomore year, I knew something was different. But going into my junior year, the one thing I think we all was thinking about, and I think me, Jay, Allen, and Kurt had a conversation, like, we don't want this class to be a bust. Yeah. Where we came in as the number one or number two recruiting class in the country, and we didn't live up to it. So we were like, hey, we don't want to be a bust, because you can tell the way Coach Wright was recruiting, he was starting to recruit to replace us. And mm-hmm. like, listen, like, we got to go out there. And it wasn't even about, you know, Coach Wright being us and wanting us to be Villanova basketball players. It was more about, this is our legacy. This will be our identity when we come back to Villanova. Do you want to come back and be remembered, or do you want to come back and, you know, kind of, you know, got to hold your head and, you know, not walk into certain rooms because, you know, you didn't live up to the hype. So I think towards the end of our sophomore year, we realized that. In the summer, we realized that. And walking into the season, it was a lot of chatter going on around Coach Wright and his livelihood. So we all just stuck together, and, you know, we felt like, you know, everybody was against us, but we all stuck together, and we turned it around in a huge way. I never thought we'll make it to the Sweet 16 and then the Elite Eight the following year. And then being basically one call, because I think our junior year we could have won it. And when they called Allen for that travel, one ref had an and one and the other refs had a travel. When they called Allen for that travel, I knew that. You know, I was like, listen, it's some home cooking. One seed, number one overall seed, and number five seed. I just knew that, you know, they wanted Carolina to push through. They didn't want no Cinderella stories. But you could just tell we were different after that Virginia game, our sophomore year, going into our junior year. You know, our body language and our approach was just different, because we didn't want to end up as the, you know, the best one of the best recruiting classes in the country that didn't end up doing nothing at their university.
So we could sit here and talk all day about basketball, bro, and like all our memories at Nova.
Right.
So we gotta jump into Randy Foy, the president of Friends of Nova right now.
Right.
So basically what I wanna ask is, what's that transition like from going from the number seven pick in the NBA draft to now being the head NIL guy at Villanova University? Like, what's your role with NIL, and what's your role with the roster? Like, what role do you play with the school?
Right. Oh, that's like five questions, eh, right? So let me just start with my role from the seventh pick to playing a decade plus in the NBA, to coming back to a place that I love, to a place that I respect, you know, a place that me and you both cherish, that, and we can both agree here that it changed our lives. But I never thought I would come back at this capacity, right? And the role that I have, the importance of my role. I always thought that, you know, I'll come back as a coach and I'll be a big part of, you know, building something there. But I never thought I would come back on this side. Just to reiterate it, I am not a university employee. Friends of Nova is a third party entity. And the first year I worked for a company called Blueprint Sports. And, you know, I went out and I raised a lot of money. I did it by, you know, just being me, being honest, letting our fan base and our alumni know that this is the new landscape. And it's a ton of seismic changes going on. At that time, I really didn't understand them. This was 24 months ago. I didn't understand them, but I just knew I was doing something important to protect the university that I love. So I went out and, you know, I raised this money. And then next thing you know, we realized that the most important thing that we can do is try to bring this everything back in-house. And when I say in-house, I'm not talking about Villanova University, because this is a separate entity. When I say in-house, we wanted it to be surrounded by Villanova alumni. And we want Villanova alumni, when we went out and talked to them, myself being in the front of that, we wanted them to understand that this is important and this is how important it is to us, that we made sure every single person that worked at Friends of Nova is a Villanova alumni and we are trusted faces. So I just wanted to reiterate that we are not, Friends of Nova is not a part of the Villanova Athletic Department.
Okay. So make sure y'all understand that.
Right. Yeah.
Separate entity.
Yep.
So yeah, Randy, thank you for clearing that up, honestly, because a lot of people were, we announced that you were coming on the show and I was getting texts from some friends, Villanova alumni as well, some kids that are at school now, and not everybody really knew what was going on in terms of what Friends of Nova meant, the affiliation, or I'd say non-affiliation with the university. But thank you for clearing that up and just kind of, I'm inspired now. I'm like, yeah, I'm a Villanova alumni. I want to go work for Friends of Nova. So that's awesome, man. And,
you can go to friendsofnova.com if you want to support Friends of Nova, or you can have a conversation with myself or someone on our team.
I love it. And we got to use this as a platform, because Rain and Threes has done, I think, A-Ray, myself, and our producer has done a lot for Villanova basketball in terms of kind of taking a little bit of a peek behind the curtain. And it's been so much fun kind of getting to know the program that I've loved just growing up. My dad, my grandfather are both Villanova alumni. I feel like, you know, I bleed blue in that way. And just sitting here now with two of my childhood heroes, Randy Foy and Alan Ray, is pretty cool for me. But everybody else out there that's been tuning in, supporting Rain and Threes, you know, get out, support Friends of Nova too, because that's how we get this thing back to where we want it to be. And Randy, you coming on here is special. And A-Ray and I really appreciate it so much, man. And it's been a great conversation, but we have plenty more to cover. We do want to get into a little bit more about how the donors and alums who support the collective, like, what is their role specifically in the roster? How can you say, hey, what you guys do literally is going to affect what we see out there on the court?
You know, our alumni, let me just get this out the way. Our fan base and our alumni are unbelievable. But when constructing a roster, they have absolutely nothing to do with it, right? If you donate to Friends of Nova, which is essential at this point, if you just look at the transfer portal and you look at what's going on, if you don't have a competing collective, you're in trouble as a, you know, a basketball team, and as an athletic department, you're in trouble. But our alum don't make no decisions here. But for us to be transparent, and, you know, they have made an investment, and for us to respect that investment, if someone calls me and say, hey, what's going on with the portal? Or what's going on with this guy that may be transferring? Or at this, you guys got to think, our women's basketball team is extremely successful. So people are asking about, hey, what's going on with this women's basketball player? We have to have we have to be transparent there. And we have to respect them, because this is their investment that they're putting into Friends of Nova with our women's basketball team and our men's basketball team, and believing in what our leadership at our athletic department, and believing in Father Peter, our board of trustees. So we're all doing the right thing. We're trying to put our our Villanova values is extremely important to us. And I would look at our fans in a way, if they weren't upset what we put out there or the results that we have out there, if they weren't upset and they just was like, okay, this would be all right, then I would look at this and be like, hey, these are not Villanova fans. They're not passionate. You need to find some. But we is they're invested, right? And with them being invested, we understand that, you know, everything that we do on our side, we have to do it at a level where we never get caught up or lose our Villanova values. We cannot lose that, no matter what the portal, no matter who's in a portal, no matter what freshman is coming in. We have to protect something that's near and dear to me and Allen's heart, and that's our basketball program.
Definitely, bro. Want to talk a little bit about what goes into a portal, the market that you guys create for players. Who sets that market? Is it you guys that set the market? Is it the basketball scene that sets the market? Like, how do we control who gets what?
Right. So when you think about the portal, it's crazy right now. On the average, it's 4.1 men's basketball players going in, and it's 2.8 women basketball players going into the portal. So you think about it, and you just think about the land and the ecosystem of it. It's something that we never faced before. But it's really important for, you know, building a roster. Do we want to build a roster like this every year? Absolutely not. It's important to build a roster through the retention of players, bringing high school kids in. And when you feel like you need to plug some holes where, you know, let's say a guy left, a couple guys left, and you just say, hey, we have the flexibility to, you know, go into the portal and, you know, look at a couple guys and make sure that they fit the Villanova values and what we want to do. And we let them know that we have a competing collective. But more than that, before it even gets to me, Coach Neptune and his coaching staff, they have to do their due diligence. They have to make sure that player is the right player to fit our culture. Because, Alan, you know, we do things different. And you got to respect the community. You have to respect the leadership. And you got to understand what a Villanova basketball player is. And for me and you, that's playing for the name on the front of your jersey and not the back. So when we player, all of that goes into it. We're not just looking at a player and say, oh, this is the best player in the portal. Let me go and get him and give him the biggest number. That will never happen here at Villanova University or Friends of Nova. From our leadership, like I said, from Father Peter to Mark Jackson to the Board of Trustees, it just doesn't operate that way. You have to want to be a part of the community. You have to want to be a student athlete. That's the most important thing to us. And then once you commit to that, that's when I come into place and everything else falls into place.
Yeah, so and you just mentioned it, Randy. You just mentioned it. Like the Villanova culture is what really Jay Wright built, what you guys were there for in the beginning of his era that made the program so successful and really one of the blue blood type of programs over the course of the last few decades. And now with the landscape now turned on its head, developing players like you guys did who stayed there for 4 years, guys like Colin Gillespie, Jermaine Samuels, even now more recently have been there for 4+ years. How is it even possible to sustain that Villanova culture with so much roster turnover? I mean, you mentioned you got to pick the right guys that are focused on playing for the name on the front of the jersey, not the back. But is it enough time to instill that culture within them just coming for a year?
To reiterate it, just the leadership, man. I work with Mark Jackson on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. Phenomenal. just his vision on building a program and sustaining what Coach Wright built there and picking the right guy and Coach Neptune and understanding he can continue to carry that torch because Coach Neptune is a part of, he's a disciple of Jay Wright. Coach Neptune was there in 2008. He had a brief stint with Fordham and he came back and he came back to the place that he loved. And he understands this more than anyone that, you know, to build something, you have to put things into place. And the one thing that we have this in place for us is just the structure of what a Villanova basketball player is, what that place means to us. That place isn't a place like you think about it. You know, there's a video out or there's some social media posts online where there's multiple guys in the portal on our team, right? And we had an event the other night at the Conley Center, and you see all of those guys in there. Schools just don't do that, right? If a guy goes into the portal, that's it, right? But from our leadership, from our culture, what we have built there, the torch that Jay Wright has passed along on to Cal Neptune, we understand, man, that it's about building people. You know, you basketball players, you wouldn't be at Villanova if you weren't a really good basketball player. But one of the best things I think we do as a university and as a basketball program, we build people. And that goes much further than just being a basketball player.
Lance Webb, TJ Bamba,
right?
Brendan Housen, all these guys hit the transfer portal. Why are these guys hitting the transfer portal from Nova?
You know, Alan, that's just a personal decision that those guys ended up making with their team. When you think about how things work and operate at Villanova throughout the course of the year. Me and you even went through it. We're constantly, coaches are constantly meeting with parents, meeting with the student athlete, just to make sure that everyone is aligned. And, you know, I would say these meetings probably happen 5 to 6 times a year, but just, you know, at the end, the beginning of the year, you know, we have a meeting. And then when I say we, I'm talking about me and you with Coach Wright. But Neptune, he does the same thing. He has a meeting, Coach Nep, with the student athlete and the parents. And at the end of the year, he has a meeting with the student athletes and a parent. And sometimes it's just people want something different. And, you know, those guys went into the portal. And we celebrate them. You know, we celebrate them in a way where, you know, Villanova isn't for everyone. And we understand that. But, you know, we go by this slogan, once a Wildcat, always a Wildcat. And the importance of supporting those guys when they go into the portal, just knowing that they always have a home. You know, you can end up somewhere else. But I think the most important thing those guys appreciate is our culture and the culture that we have built over the last 20 years. And that we're going to continue to build. Those guys appreciate that. You know, TJ, Lance, Trey, Brendan, those guys appreciate that. They know that Villanova is a special place. They were happy to be a part of it. You know, more importantly, their families were happy to be a part of it. But, you know, we wish them well, you know. And when you go into the portal, there's still as a whole, we look at it and say, you know, it's always a home here for you. But at the end of the day, you know, it's just important for us to understand that those guys made a decision and we have to respect it.
So after obviously all this news coming out about these guys hitting the portal, and some of them, obviously, I would say all of them were really beloved by Villanova fans. And now it's like, okay, exactly. you know, Amarillo Assassin, everybody loves him, but everybody now on social media, whether it be even just friends of the program, people that are like, wait a minute, hold on, I haven't paid attention this year because, you know, we're not going to the Final Fours. What's going on? How come everyone's transferring? People are starting to panic a little bit, But I think, Randy, you may be able to explain to them a little bit why they should feel so confident that this year's foray into the portal market will turn out better than last year's.
Yeah, you look at what we did last year, and we brought in some really good guys to surround Justin Moore and Eric Dixon. I think we had one of the top portal classes come in the country. It didn't work out the way we wanted it to work out. We tip our hats to those guys. They played really well. They valued Villanova. They understood that Villanova was a place that no other place. And you know, when you talk to these transfers and they talk about their situation before, and then they talk about what Villanova did for them, is completely different, and they appreciate that. This year, like I said, we have one of the top collectives in the country, and I noticed from the metrics that I study on a day-to-day basis that we have one of the best collectives. But it's not all about the collective. It's not all about going into the portal and being the highest bidder. We don't do that here. Like I said, it's a lot that goes into bringing a player in, right? And that's allowing Coach Neptune and his coaching staff to do their due diligence, understand the family, understand the player, understand their inner circle, right? And then once all of that happens, that's when I come into play, right? Once there's some type of agreement slash commitment with the coaches, that's when I come into play. And when I come into play, it's just helping those guys become Villanova student athletes. You know, we're not going out here and we're not bidding on players and trying to be the highest bidder. We're trying to bring kids in that want to be a part of something that's bigger than themselves. And like I said before, that's the university, that's the community, and want to be a great student, a student athlete. So that's what we look at it. And, you know, that's how we do the metrics on it. But we're looking for great student athletes that want to be a part of something that's bigger than them, which is our community.
I feel like you lose integrity too by just like going for the highest bidder in the portal every single year. Cause now the kids know that they know like, oh, I could go to Villanova and they got one of the best collectives and all I got to do is sign a contract and get in there and like, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? So like, you got to have some kind of integrity and be able to like you said, pick the exact people that fit the program, that believe in the program, believe in what we're doing. And this leading into this next question, what do you think about multi-year contracts going forward when it comes to NIL? Do you think that's a good thing? Do you think it's a bad thing? Do you think it can help? Especially when you talk about retention and developing players, obviously we know that's what we do at Villanova. Right. What are your thoughts?
I think that a multi-year contract is smart. And the reason why, this is just my opinion, because I played in the NBA, and majority of the guys that they develop and that they really want basically under multi-year deals, 3 to 4 year deals. But when you look at the landscape of college basketball, right, and you think about what a fifth-year senior means, and then you look at a high school kid coming in, and you think about what that high school kid means. Me and you both know when a kid comes right in from high school, he's not ready. We know he's not ready. And the one thing that you have to adjust to coming from high school is lifting weights every day, right? Going to class, practicing, being a leader, playing under the bright lights. When a fifth year guy come in, or even let's say a junior comes in, he's already exposed to that. He understands what it means to be a college basketball player. He understands how physical it is at that level. So if you look at the transfer portal, sometimes it's just replacing high school kids. It's making it harder for high school kids to come in right away and be one and done. Because mm-hmm. when you look around, you look success on a national level, especially around the NCAA tournament, you're looking, it's fifth-year guys. It's transfer portal guys just coming and making a difference. So my opinion, yes, for a multi-year contract, the way Friends of Nova do it, we only do one-year contracts. That's why it's so important for our fans and our alumni to support Friends of Nova, because what we want to do in this space is essential to protect not only our men's basketball team, but also to protect our women's basketball team, because our women's basketball team and Denise Dillon, they have done an incredible job. And I don't know, I know we're talking a lot about the men's team because me and Alan play men's basketball at Nova. But when you think about someone like Lucy Olsen and, you know, Iowa thought so, you know, so much of Lucy Olsen that they said, hey, Caitlin Clark, you feel like you could be the replacement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got multiple women basketball players in the portal. Because if you look at our women's game, the viewership throughout the NCAA tournament was higher.
Off the charts.
So when you think about our basketball team and our men's basketball team, a lot of times, you know, they're the front porch to what the university is trying to do. So, you know, when we talk about our men's basketball team and, you know, what Coach Neptune has to do, we gotta talk about the same thing with Coach Denise Dillon and what she has to do. She has done an unbelievable job preparing her women day in and day out to be competitive, the same way Kyle Neptune has done it. And is there work to do on both sides? Absolutely. Do we know that as alumni? Absolutely. So the one thing that I love, though, is just watching Coach Nep and Coach Dillon work day in and day out. So passionate, always prepared. It's just a treat to watch.
Randy, I mean, just this is just great intel here. You're feeding us and the rest of Nova Nation. We absolutely love it. And
dropping gems right now.
I love it. But listen, go back to when you, A-Ray, Kyle, Mike, Will, you guys were all playing. What would your NIL money look like back in the early 2000s, man?
Let me say this.
We probably wouldn't even be on the same team.
I don't know, right? Yeah.
Let me break this down. So you said our team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we were, if our team was up, and let's say, so let me just, so Alan, he would definitely be in a portal. Curtis will definitely be in a portal. Will definitely be in a portal. How many times him and Coach Wright bumped heads? Mike Nardi Mike wouldn't be in the portal. No. Will Sheridan wouldn't go in the portal. Jason Frazier will definitely be in the portal.
He'd be in the portal with one knee.
Yeah. Just looking at certain things and, you know, understanding how I work from my perspective now, I would definitely be in the portal. And that's just me being completely transparent with you guys.
Bro, and you said it too. Sophomore year, you wanted to transfer. I wanted to transfer sophomore year too. After we lost to St. Joe's, they killed us at home. I called my pops. I'm like, yo, dad.
Jameer. All the time. I played in the NBA with Jameer Nelson. He reminds me all the time, man.
I'm like, dad, we not winning. I'm coming from St. Ray's. We won two back-to-back city championships. We just hit the NIT last year. We just got slapped by St. Joe's. I'm like, yo, dad, we not winning. Like, I'm out of here. I'm crying. I'm like, I'm out of here, man. I can't take this. Coach Ray always yelling at me. Like, I'm out of here.
But, A-Ray, one thing I wanted to say, man, and what I love about Coach, he is the hardest on himself, A-Ray.
Yeah.
When things are not going right, he's trying to figure out, you know, to the wee hours in the morning, how to fix them. From strength training, how can we be better? From recruiting, how can we be better? From my coaching staff, how can we be better? from just himself. Like, what can I do better to make sure that this place that we all look at, like I look at it like it's a cathedral, which is Villanova. How can we be better? And there's no, you know, there's no instance where we're just sitting back like everything's okay, we'll be all right, this is Villanova. We know that there's work to do. And all of the leadership and all of the people in place to lead us from a university standpoint, from a board of trustees standpoint, from, like I said, Father Peter is a part of the leadership, Mark Jackson, that everyone's looking at themselves and saying, how can we do better? You know, how can we fix this to get back to, you know, our championship ways? And they're doing it every single day now. I'm there every day and I'm watching Coach Neptune work from, you know, 6 a.m. to 2 a.m. to try to figure this out. And I think that's the coolest thing I can ever witness is just his work ethic and his appreciation. If you ever get a chance to see him in practice, it will remind you of a young Jay Wright getting up and down the court on guys, demanding that they do it the right way, demanding that they do it when they're tired. And that's something that I appreciate and I respect as a former player, where I felt like me and you are the foundation. He understands that it needs to be work done. And every single day, you know, he's putting on his hard hat and he's doing what he has to do to make sure he protect our program and get us back to our national championship winning ways.
And Randy, just one of the last things that we'll cover here, but Coach Wright, when he was on with A-Ray and I mentioned that he talks to Kyle every day. He's, you know, he's talking to the team almost every day. What have you seen in Coach Wright's post-retirement role as a special advisor to the president and what he does on a daily, weekly basis with the program?
I just see Coach Wright. He's laid back, but the one thing I would say about Coach, he's on all of us to do better. And he's articulating that in a way where he would articulate to me and Alan, when we were on the court, he would be on us. But he's articulating it in a way where it's like, hey guys, like, we have to do better. This is Villanova. These are the standards, right? The standards are not here. The standards are way up here. We have to do better. And, you know, he's reiterating that to everyone. And like I said, this is an all hands on deck. This isn't just on Coach Neptune and his coaching staff. You know, this isn't on Coach Denise Dillon and their coaching staff. All hands are on deck. Fans, alumni, coaches, administration, everybody understand the importance to get us back to where we belong. And we know we're going to get there. We know that we're going to get there with Cal Neptune because of anything that we're doing that is different than any other place. Because if you look around the country, everybody's dealing with it. You look at how many kids are going into the portal on the men's and women's side, everyone is dealing with it, but no one feels sorry for us. So the one thing I say is just put your hard hat on, you know, and go to work. And Coach Wright, the way he articulates it in a way of, you know, leadership and just explaining, like, we need to do better. And that's what we're trying to do every single day. You know, we're trying to make sure we go out there and we're not in a rush to do anything. We're trying to take the right steps forward to building a championship team. And the way you do that, you're patient, you do your due diligence, you allow the coaches, you allow the coaching staff, you allow everyone to do their due diligence from their notes to their scouting, to their recruiting, everything. And then, like I said, I'm the final piece of that, right? Because we're a third party, we're a separate entity. I'm the final piece of that. And once the kid and the family commit to the community and the university, then after that, they commit to Friends of Nova. And the one thing that Friends of Nova need from our alumni and our fans is that we're up against something where the ecosystem changes every single day, where if you don't have a competing collective at blue blood universities like us, you won't have a team. So we need our fans to step up. We need our alumni to step up in a way to support. And like I said to you in the beginning, it's easy. You know, my business card, my cell phone number, my social media, my email. It's easy to get in contact with me. We just need all hands on deck, you know, and it's a lot of riff out there about certain things that need to happen, or I may or may not support if this doesn't happen. We just don't do that to, you know, we're family. We just don't do that to family members. We protect our family. We try to build with our family and make sure that the thing that we love, like I said, which is the cathedral to me, which is Villanova basketball, we protect that. And at the same time, while we're protecting Villanova basketball, we're protecting everything that's around it. So I know that Kyle Neptune's the guy. I watch him every single day. I'm on the phone with him multiple times a day just to make sure we're doing everything the right way where we can get everything back on track.
Ooh. Hey, Ray, I'm fired up right now. I'm ready to go to war right now. Let's go.
Me too.
Let's go.
Alan knows I'm quiet, but, you know, at the end of the day, I feel like Villanova, especially with my situation growing up and my family situation, I feel like Nova put me in a situation where it felt like family when I got there. Every time I get off the highway and I drive up Lancaster Ave, it feels like family, A-Ray. And it feels like, so I just want to make sure, you know, the house that has, you know, helped so many alum, helped so many fans feel, you know, good about themselves. If it was a quarter or a half or just for a day or two, you know, Villanova basketball, the university, I just want everybody to come together and help us continue to build something that's important under Coach Neptune.
And I'm definitely there with you. And, right. You know, we both Nova alum. A lot of people might say, like, we're biased when it comes to, like, how we feel about the program. I get that a lot, but you got to understand, like Randy said, like, we love this program. Like, I love Villanova, you know? I could have took visits anywhere else. I took a visit to Villanova, that's it, and then committed. Like, after I graduated, watching Scotty Reynolds, watching Archie Diacono, Brunson, Hart, all those guys, like, that make me proud. Like, that made me so proud. And people got to understand, like, we've been through this. We've been through down times. Everything's not going to happen right away. It's not going to happen the way you want it to happen. We in a whole different landscape, and we gotta navigate it differently and figure it out. And that's exactly what we're doing right now, figuring it out. Like you said, if our fans wasn't upset, I would be questioning them too.
Yeah.
Like, are you really fans, you know? But we definitely got our work cut out for us. There's no question about that. Can't stray away from that. And just really excited to see what you guys do this year. I'm not even gonna say you guys, but we do this year in terms of the portal, putting together a team and how we go about it during the season. But I'm definitely excited about it and ready for the challenge. But before we finish, I just wanted to know, what's your favorite memory as a player? And it could be high school, college, NBA. And think hard, bro, because you saw you watched Blake Griffin dunk on Kendrick Perkins.
Right.
Yeah. So you got a lot. So think hard about it. Like, your favorite memory.
My favorite memory, I would say one of my favorite memories of just me being a basketball player in general was draft night. Because
respect.
Yeah. At that table, as every kid dream to sit in that green room and have their name call. And I think they only invite, I think, like 18 players there. So to have you guys on speed dial, to have Kyle Lowry on speed down, to have Coach Wright and my grandmother and my family members right next to me, that was probably one of my fondest moments. Because like I said, the most important thing was going to Villanova as a boy and then leaving a man, but continuing to have, you know, that small support system there with me and throughout the course of my NBA career. But that night sitting there, when David Stern walked up and he called my name and my agent like gave me a tap and basically said, it's you. It's like all of my dreams came true. and the real work begin. But for, you know, that 24 hours, I celebrate it. But there's no experience like that, man. And I cherish that moment. You know, I think I got the picture right here when, you know, but I just think that moment right there when, you know, sitting next to Coach Wright, someone telling me that I can do it, sitting next to my grandmother, you know, my parents, you know, passed away, telling me, you know, I got to be a man and you can do it. Don't give in to the streets and, you know, everything that is happening around you. Continue to be the best student you can be, continue to be, you know, the best athlete you can be. And then being with Coach Wright and him believing in me when I couldn't do it, and him sitting next to me when I was getting ready to accomplish one of my goals, that means the world to me.
No, I can definitely imagine that feeling, sitting there in that green room like that. I know you was nervous as hell. I know you ran. I know you was nervous.
You know, I'm always, I just get nervous. You know, I was thinking about, to be honest with you, I was thinking about, you know, if I knew if I went top 10, you always do an interview right after you draft. So I was thinking about that. But bro, you know, look at me now, man. I'm in front
this, of you. Let me tell you, seriously, this dude used to be so nervous talking in front of like a bunch of people in a crowd, and like to see him doing what he's doing now, raising money, going out, talking to people, like it's like he said, growth. Like this is amazing.
Yeah, and it's all growth, man. And I just want, like I said, it's a big family, man, and you're a part of it. Everybody on this call is a part of it. You know, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing now if we didn't love Villanova University. And like I said, man, it's just we have to protect it. And our leadership thinks that way with Father Peter and Mark Jackson and Coach Neptune. And I'm telling you, man, we're going to get this right. We're going to do it the right way. I can't tell you guys what we're doing at this moment, but just know we're doing it the right way. And when it all comes together, we'll all circle back and hopefully we'll be able to, you know, have a drink together and just say, hey, you knew what was going on. You really didn't say what was going on, but we trusted you and you guys built, you know, a heck of a roster. And like I said, that all starts with Coach Neptune and that starts with his coaching staff. And then Friends of Villanova is a big part of it, but we're on the back end of it, where we're supporting our student athletes. And it all starts with just believing, right? And I believe in Coach Knapp. I believe in our coaching staff. I believe in the players that are there. And I believe in the players that will be there in the future. And we're going to get it right. Trust me.
Absolutely. I love it. Randy, I think everyone out there that's listening is going to love this, man. Seriously, thank you so much. And just to finish up on one last thing, I know you said that now a couple of times, but we've got some great guys gonna be playing on the biggest and brightest lights in the NBA playoffs, and we got the Knicks and Sixers facing off in the first round. Who are you rooting for, man? This is a lot of Wildcats involved.
And I'm rooting for anyone. I'm rooting for anyone that's a Villanova alumni.
All right.
Kyle Lowry goes out there and had 35, and they win. I'm rooting for them. If Jalen has 60 and Josh has a triple, and Dante has 25, I'm Team Nova. I just want them to. I wanted to go to games, and I don't want I want our guys to be healthy, but I just want everybody to have success, man. And I think that Jalen, Josh, Mikel, Dante. Kyle Lowry, obviously, over the last 18 years, they have proven that. So I just want everybody to his health, wealth, and success, man.
Incredible.
Right on with you.
Hey, Ray, final thoughts?
I mean, honestly, we're going to have to wrap up because, like, I can sit here and talk to her all night. Seriously.
Yes.
But, definitely, I appreciate you, Rand, coming on here. And most importantly, getting the message out about Nova NIL and, you know, how we operate and basically what we're doing this year without getting into complete details of like the who, but, you know, we're working and just want to let everybody know that Villanova is definitely working. We're not just like sitting down and not being proactive. You know, I mean, not being and being reactive, we're being proactive. So just wanted to get that out. Just wanted to get that out there and definitely just say thanks to my boy right here. And like when we say family, like we mean family. Like I talked to Randy. We talk in at least once, twice a week. Kyle, Jason, Curtis, you know, all these guys in my class. And along the way, I've met Eric Dixon's family, met some other guys' family. So I'm starting to get a little bit more acquainted with the Nova family after I left. So like I said, appreciate you having us on. Appreciate you coming on. And definitely ready for this year.
Hey, yeah, yeah. Thanks for the invite, Avery. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the invite, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. At Friends of Nova on social media and go to friendsofnova.com to become a member and a contributor. Thank you, Randy, so much for joining this episode of Rain in Threes. And listen, man, that was great. Randy Foy, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, just wow. Hey, Ray, it is definitely a long time coming for us to have your boy and former teammate on the show. But another awesome guest spot on Rain in Threes. Give me your thoughts, A-Ray. I mean, he really laid it all out there in terms of what Friends of Nova does, how it relates to the program, but not really affiliated with the program as they are a third-party situation. And I was impressed with a lot of things that he said. It got me going a little bit. I feel like I got the chills a few times just talking about the program, how it is a family type of atmosphere and the connections that everybody has, you know, from the bottom up and top down. It is different in that regard, but also one of many programs that are dealing with a whole new landscape of things when it comes to NIL collectives, when it comes to trying to recruit transfers, when it comes to losing players to the portal. So it is certainly a vast range of emotions that I feel like we just experienced in this last hour with Randy talking about Coach Neptune, talking about Coach Wright, talking about the good old days with you guys playing in the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight in 2005 and 06. So a lot of ground we covered, A-Ray, but let's just see if we can get some quick final thoughts and wrap up here. I feel like I could go on for another hour.
No, definitely. Me too. What interests me and kind of caught my attention was when I asked about the guys that were in the portal, like Lance, TJ, Housen, Trey.
Yep.
And like basically asked, you know, why, like what's the reason going into the portal? And you know, his response was that, you know, guys, like they have a decision to make, you know, not necessarily like they looking for the best thing for them. So like right. What I got out of that and what I feel like was what he was saying, but just wasn't coming out directly saying it was basically, you know, financial incentives for guys. Like if you want, because let's just be honest, you know, guys wanted more money. It just is what it is. Guys wanted more money. And like, do you pay these guys that money? Like, we just went to the NIT 2 years in a row. You know what I'm saying? Are you going to pay somebody on our team more money? And we just went to the NIT with you. You know what I'm saying? So
it's spoken like a real like Major League Baseball, you know, NBA, NFL GM right there, right? It's like, oh, we just missed the playoffs. Why would we want to sign you back to a contract? It's crazy, but it's true, A-Ray. You're right.
It is. And like, I don't want to sound so harsh about it, but you know, like it's the reality of it right now. And I mean, you got to be smart. And when he was saying that they're going about it different this year, like they're going to be smart about it. And they're going to get the right players in, doing more due diligence. Like, all of that screams to me, like, that's just some of the things they skipped on a little bit last year and kind of are working on this year and realize what they was doing last year.
Well, yeah, A-Ray, and it's like you, I think you mentioned it, like it's the first time they really did that last year, right? As a coaching staff, as a program, Villanova was not a big, all right, let's hit the transfer portal, even, you know, prior under Coach Wright. It was Caleb Daniels, Eric Paschal, Joe Cremo. I mean, that was really it when it comes to the transfers. We had a more than a few guys leave, but no one that really was like, oh, man, I can't believe we lost that guy. Like, Cole Swider leaving, like, that was like, okay. Like, you know, he was a great shooter, but almost like Housen was in a way. Like, yeah, he could shoot, but he was a bit of a liability on defense. But I know what you mean, A-Ray. It's like they, you know, really, I thought, did a great job going into it. We talked about it on here when we first started the podcast. We were all fired up. We were saying, hey, this team's stacked like pancakes now that we just added Tyler Burton, who was the fourth key to what we thought was the grand, you know, puzzle of getting back to the big dance. Didn't work out that way. But at the time, sure, man, Bamba, Hart, Ware, and now Burton, we were like over the moon, man. We were stoked. So I don't think it's anyone's business to, you know, hindsight is 2020. It's not anyone's business to say like, oh, man, that was a complete failure. Like, I wouldn't say that. I would say it. You know, there were some good things, but, you know, sure, you know, like Randy said, there's some work left to be done. And there certainly is in the transfer portal. Tyler Perkins is a nice piece. He's a young kid who's got three more years of eligibility left from Penn. I mean, yeah, I like his upside in terms of what he could bring to the table, but a lot more work to be done. And I think, A-Ray, what Randy said about the collective is, like, everyone was saying, oh, man, the donors are going to pull back. They don't want to donate the money because they don't trust Coach Neptune. They don't want to be, like, you know, helping the program if they continue in this direction. To me, it seems like that people have been like, all right, what can I do to stop this? What can we do to help? And, you know, signed a big fat check and gave it over to Friends of Nova, which is awesome. That's what we want. That's what we want to hear. That's what we want to see. I'm sure Randy was thrilled about that because – it's not like he came on here and he was like begging everyone to sign up. And he was almost like, okay, if you want to be a part of it, you're going to be a part of something special. So why not? If you love this program, if you are a true fan, if you are a dedicated alumni, why wouldn't you be a part of Friends of Nova? And it convinced me, like I mentioned before with Randy. I'm like, oh man, I want to get a job there. This is great. But I think now they have a little bit more experience in the portal. They know what they're looking for more so. They have maybe a little extra chunk of change in their back pocket. And it's like, all right, why not? Let's take another stab at this. Let's take another swing and try to swing for the fences. And I don't know. I'm going to believe until I don't anymore. I'm sorry. I'm going to kind of dust off what was a disappointing season. This disappointing last two seasons, really, but especially last year with how we talked about being picked fourth in the Big East and how what we talked about the expectations were about making the tournament, possibly getting to the second weekend. And now it's like, all right, you know, what happened? We just lost. Dixon is gone. Moore is gone. Obviously, all the transfers we got from last year, gone. Housen, gone. Possibly Mark Armstrong, gone. Like, talk about cleaning house, right? Like, all these guys could be gone. And it's like, who's left? Jordan Longino, Nana Njoku, Jordan Dumont, Trey Patterson's gone. And then the three kids we got coming in as freshmen who you can't really expect to be major contributors. Maybe not the contributors at all. So a lot of work to be done in that regard. But I am going to believe in this process this offseason. I know they're working hard. I know they're raising the money. Randy really seemed confident in what the competitive level of our NIL collective as a program is. So, hey, I would think it would be remiss to say that this is, you know, this is a complete wash and we're going to be on the level of Georgetown next year, which is what I've heard from some of my buddies, which, you know, made me sick.
I should just kick him in the nuts next time they say that.
I'm serious, man. I'm definitely considering it because I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're going to be A-okay in terms of the decisions we make going forward. And then it's like, okay, we'll see what happens, right? That's at least where you want to be. in a couple months from now where we're sitting here, A-Ray, talking about expectations for the 2024-2025 season, we want to be like, all right, look at this roster that they built. We have a lot of key pieces that replaced guys from the past. This guy reminds me of this guy. That guy player reminds me of, oh, like, I really think there's guys out there. The portal is, it's insane. Randy talked about it. We talk about it all the time. How many guys enter the portal? Hey, there's opportunity there. Right? Even like Jeremy Roach from Duke, a guy who I had never thought transfer, he hits the portal. It's crazy, man. So a lot of work to be done, but I do have to say I was already convinced, but Randy really, I feel like, is now pushed me forward into being like, okay, I believe in this. I think these guys are going to make the right decisions and give us a shot next year. That's all I can say.
Yeah, and like, I feel like they're taking their time and making sure everything is right. And I feel like a lot of people are kind of antsy about it. You see a lot of people moving, but don't really see a lot of people coming in. But Randy just explained that, you know, it's some due diligence that has to be done. You know, you don't want to sign, like, and I've seen this, and I've been a part of this. Like, I've played on a team overseas where we had success the year before, and we brought in one player, and he completely screwed everything up. Like, completely screwed everything up. So I get what he's saying about, like, doing the due diligence, like, because that can really affect your program and affect your team. So I appreciate him saying how they're going to take their time and to do the due diligence on their players. I mean, I'd rather that than just randomly picking anybody. And not to say that they did that last year, but I feel like we also kind of jumped the gun a little bit last year. Top portal class coming in. No disrespect. And like, I'm not being harsh. I'm just telling you how it is. Like, we get a guy, and Tyler Burry, I love Tyler Burry. Like, tremendous rebounder, can score inside the paint, but couldn't hit an open three.
Right.
No? Like, just, that's, you can't be at Nova and just, like, not be able to hit a three. Now, was he hitting threes before that? Probably. Who knows? But just, we didn't get that from Burton this year. And TJ Bamba, he came along towards the end of the year. He started playing really well. But we didn't get Washington State TJ Bamba. For whatever reason it was, we didn't get him. We didn't get that Tyler Burton. And these guys helped out a lot, but it's just, we went to the NIT again. And it has to be said, like.
Yeah, A-Ray, you're right. And Bamba, Hart, and Burton, all three of those guys, their numbers regressed. Their percentages regressed. Like,
for whatever reason.
I mean, you could maybe, there are certain explanations where you think like, all right, it's a different level of competition. They're playing in the Big East. You know, it is like a new system. I'm sure it's a combination of a lot of things, but they did not live up to the hype. They did not live up to the billing. They didn't, if you just looked at their performance on the stat sheet, you'd be like, these guys, they didn't live up to it. They came up a little short. And that's no knock on who those guys are as people, as players. Like, it seemed like everybody was a big fan of each other. They were all were really a member kind of the brotherhood that Villanova is. It's a family, and they could, all those guys were having each other's backs on social media, in the post-game, pre-game press conferences. It was always love between all of those guys, transfer or not. Eric, Justin, from the top all the way down to Longino, Housen, you name it. So that wasn't part of it. But the numbers don't lie, Ray. They took a step back in terms of production. Bamba, Hart, and Burton, three guys who we really thought were going to be studs, to be quite honest with you.
I feel like Hakeem got the short end of the stick. because he was, when he got his opportunity, Mans was hooping out. He was hooping every single night. He was playing hard. And then, and this is when Justin was hurt. And then now Justin comes back. Now you got to implement Justin back in the offense. Justin is a quote-unquote go-to guy, one of the leaders on the team. We playing through him. We giving him the ball. And, like, you could see Hakeem Hart kind of take a back seat to that. Like, he once Hakeem Hart took that back seat, it was over. It was over after that. And I feel like that was another thing with our season this year, too. There's going to be a time. There's going to be a time somewhere in the future where I'm going to be able to say everything about this year. Like, everything that went on about this season, right? Just can't talk. If you watch the games and you know Villanova basketball and you know about our program, like, you could see some of the shit that was going on this year.
Yeah. Yep.
You could see it. So just moving forward, right, we just got to learn from our mistakes from last year. And I wouldn't even call it mistakes, growing pains. We're going to learn and we're going to continue to navigate this landscape that we're in right now in college basketball. But tonight was great having Randy on there and talking about NIL. I mean, even right now, OC, like, I could talk to you about this for another hour or two.
I know, man. I know. And, yeah, I completely agree. Last year, we were a little rough around the edges, the whole process, everybody with using NIL, with who we signed, who we brought in, how it worked out. It was all just a little off, right? It didn't feel 100% right, like, okay, this is Villanova basketball. This is a team that is a Villanova team, and everyone is on the same page. Everyone's bought in. It just was kind of a little off kilter, just slightly off. It just wasn't exactly where we wanted, where the coaching staff wanted. I'm sure if everyone was honest, that's exactly what they'd say. But, hey, they took a chance. They took a swing, brought in four guys, spent a bunch of money. I'm proud of that effort to try to get this – get the ship righted and get the program back on track. And I think they deserve a second chance here to see what happens this offseason. I like who they picked up with Perkins. And like we said before, a lot of work left to be done, A-Ray. So, hey, man, a lot of fun again tonight. Want to thank Randy Foy and Friends of Nova. So, you know, check out their social pages. A lot of information there. Go to the website, friendsofnova.com. You can check out Randy at Foy Boy on Instagram and at Randy Foy on Twitter. So really appreciate you guys tuning in. We're going to have a lot more guests coming up. Stay tuned because, seriously, Rain in Threes is about to catch fire again. Don't sleep on us because this is going to be a crazy offseason when it comes to Villanova and Big East basketball. But last and not least, A-Ray, I'm going Knicks in six. Who you got?
Of course you are. I knew you was going for the Knicks. I knew you was.
Come on, man.
I'm representing the old heads. I'm not going to be like Randy. I'm saying it. I'm rooting for Kyle. I played with him, so I want to see him win. And he's been in the league for a long time. I want to see him go out good.
He's already got a ring, though. He's got a ring.
He does. He definitely do. But I just want to see that for the old heads. That's all.
I got you.
But the Knicks, I know it's going to be tough. Knicks is really good.
So what do you got? Sixers and seven?
No.
No predictions from A-Ray.
I didn't say the Sixers were going to win. I said I was rooting for them. Like, I was rooting for God. Kyle.
All right.
I don't know if they're going to win. They just don't play hard enough for me. The Sixers just don't play hard at all for me. So I think the Knicks will eventually win the series. Maybe like five or six games, the Knicks, for sure. Because DiVincenzo is playing out of his mind right now. Dude can't miss. Like, DiVincenzo literally can't miss. And Josh Hart is scoring points. When Josh Hart is scoring points, it's over.
He averages a triple-double against the Sixers, man. He's going to feast on them upcoming, starting on Saturday at 6 o'clock, man. Game one. I'm juiced up, bro. I can't wait for this. NBA playoffs, baby. A lot of Wildcats representing. It's going to be a lot of fun, so we'll stay tuned as that as well. A-Ray, OC, Nick at Night, thank you guys so much for listening to the latest edition of Rain in Threes. We'll catch you guys next time.